there are two totally different agendas that underlie the work of my colleague Teager and my colleague Cabrera-Lex. Two totally different agendas. The agendas that underlay almost all the work that's been published in the speech area has been what I call Agenda 1, the engineering agenda, in which the agenda is this. We've got the signal out here. We can measure with electric microphone or carbon, or carbon button microphone, and which signal we transmit down the pair of wires. We can measure that arbitrarily accurately. What we want are after is some kind of a mathematical model that we can manipulate, adjust, reproduce, so that mathematical model will generate the signal we measure outside the track. Arbitrary accurately, mm-hmm. to some criteria that we'll specify.
Mm-hmm. Using those parameters.
Right. Using those parameters. And it's totally irrelevant to that model. But that model bear any resemblance to the physics of production.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a computationally efficient and adjustable model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Computationally efficient, economically viable to build hardware to be part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
That has dominated the world. Okay. That's agenda one. And it happens that the linear model turns out to be, the signal that this picks up is the signal of pressure and oscillation, the pressure wave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oscillation. So, you say, this is becoming a spectrum analyzer because you're going to use, quote, the linear, quasi-linear model for this. So if you have a linear model production, then it makes sense for this to be a spectrum analyzer. So that's basically all this production work, all the many tens and hundreds, literally more than 100,000 papers written on various aspects of it, all tend to concentrate on this as a linear model. Almost always work on the model is done by electrical engineers. We like to look at things as filters. Input, system, output. Okay? Source, the vocal hole, varying acoustic, cross section area, acoustic tube, source filter. And it's many variations. That's the mentality that goes on. Teager looks at it and says, no. He starts going in and measuring what the error is actually doing. And you find it. You find it's totally different behavior than what the model says should be going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to write up proposals, does the whole work, the whole bit, they all get shot down. They're reviewed by the guys that are working on agenda, engineering agenda. He's working on the scientific agenda. Anyway, the scientific agenda, agenda two is, look, let me get the physics right. Then, once I understand what's physically going on in this generation, then I'm worried about the mathematical model after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'll have a much better guideline as to how to do the model, what approximations are meaningful and what are not meaningful. So Teager works on agenda two. Teager writes his paper on agenda two, and it gets reviewed by agenda one guys. And gets shot down.
Mm-hmm.
Proposal. And it always goes back to the same people. Which, in some cases, were my colleagues who don't have. Okay. So, I only became aware of his Teager's difficulty in 1980. When I'd gone down to D.C. and a family get together. And Herbie and his wife were down there. And I was down there with my wife and each other. And I started talking to Herb, and Herb was saying a few things. And also, I'm realizing, because I had been a very active singer at that point, and certain problems that I had, that's what's going on. Certain things became much more clear to me. So, on my drive back to New Jersey that night, I got back, and I was up for about another 2 or 3 hours writing things down in the notebook. I mean, I switched literally that time. I became a 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So So it becomes the end of my sort of linear ESP stuff. So I became a real devotee of essentially Tigger's approach. But Tigger wouldn't tell me the details of a lot of stuff, only the broad outline. And I think the reason was, it was my colleagues that were giving him a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't about to give me the family jewels, you know, only to spread it around for free at Bell Labs. No way!
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no way! I think that was part of it. In other words, he just didn't know how much, what my capabilities were in my whole business. So it took probably a couple of years before I gathered my credibility enough, where it was began to open up. And see, it was also about the time that I started my with a number of reorganizations at Bell Labs. I was in a little bit, was in a different area, acoustics work.
Mm-hmm.
So I had written that TM internal Bell Labs in 83 on this other way to look at it. And it got some very interesting reviews from colleagues throughout the laboratories. That's another whole story in itself, but it made life a little uncomfortable for me there. So anyway, at the time of divestiture, I chose to go to Belcon where I could continue